Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's time for the Luke and the Pete Show. My name is Pete Donaldson, but this week I'm not joined by Mr. Luke Moore because he is currently up a mountain in Scotland, I believe. He's just sent an email to the Stakhanov WhatsApp group saying he may need a little bit of help getting to the studio next week. I'm joined by Chris Tilley from our fantastic podcast, Clash of the Titles. Chris Tilley, how the devil are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Pete. I feel honoured to be sitting in for Luke this week.
What I like about Chris is I've known Chris for donkeys years, actual donkeys years. How old are donkeys? Why do we call them donkeys years, Chris? Have we got any intel on that?
Why are you putting me on the spot like this?
I don't know. Look, this is what the Luke and Pete Show is. I ask you a random question from my brain box and you have to mumble your way through an answer approximating what we might think it might be. Donkey's years. I've known you donkey's years and we finally get to do a show together for the next 2 shows here on the Luke and Pete Show this week. But basically, Chris is here. He's from our Clash of the Titles podcast and it's a film podcast where two films go head to head. It's hosted by Alex Zane and Vicky Crompton is involved as well. I've appeared as well. How's it going at the moment, Chris? I hear you next month you might be doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, we're going to
reveal.
I can. Yeah, we're going to do some horror films next month. We're going to do a month of scary movies. So we're just figuring out what they're going to be. But yeah, it's going well. Actually, I told Alex I was coming on this, and he sent me a message saying, "Don't get sucked into football chat. Talk only movies." Mention the name of the show as much as possible, and refer to yourself in the third person as Chris Thrilly. So that's my instructions for the day.
Well, last time Luke was off, I did a show with me, Alex, and Mark from Wrestle Me, the podcast I do about wrestling with Mark. And the reviews weren't universally positive because it was just us remembering when we used to work together about 15 years ago. We've never worked together properly, Chris, so I fear there's going to be none of that.
I listened to that episode and I really enjoyed it, but maybe that's because I was a fan of the radio show you were very self-indulgently talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how our social gatherings kind of, that's what they just descend into. Alex and me and Mark will start talking about the time that we worked together. But I think that's perfectly normal to reminisce about the past, isn't it?
Yeah,
we've all got a past.
Yeah, and you had funny stories about you writing a song for Lily Allen or something, didn't you? Like, that's the kind of podcasting material I want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Clash of the Titans is all about two films going head-to-head. What's been your highlights recently about which films that you've enjoyed immensely or which films you haven't enjoyed?
Well, Jaws and Jurassic Park was big. That was exciting because you don't get bigger movies than that. And Jaws is Alex's favourite film. So it was lovely digging into his passion for that film, and we all like Jurassic Park. So I enjoyed that one. I pitched Independence Day and Mars Attacks. I was quite shocked at how much Alex and Vicky hated Mars Attacks.
Because I just thought it was a bit of a cult classic.
Yeah, and it's just sort of a harmless, silly comedy, but there seemed to be anger from their side of the table. I particularly enjoyed, we did Taken and Commando, and I loved revisiting Commando. Just that period of action movies in the 80s, I could spend all day talking about them.
Is that why Taken kind of resonated with a lot of people, presumably around about our age? Is it because it reminded us of those kind of mid blockbuster, quite quite cheap, thrifty blockbusters that you used to get on home video back in the day.
Yeah, and also I think it was fun seeing Liam Neeson beat up people. It sort of inspired a mini subgenre for him where he's just remade the same film over and over again for the last 10 years. But and Caddyshack was
good.
I
listened to that. Oh, yes. That's a bit of a classic. I was listening to the Taken one, and the thing that got me is nobody mentioned the bit where at the end of Taken, there is a man who attacks him. I think it's on a boat or something. I can't remember. Films. I can never remember the end of it. They're on a boat. A man, one of the henchmen who attacks Liam Neeson, he looks like he's been cuprinoled. He looks like he's been covered in creosote. He's just like a white guy who's like painted himself like in that kind of, that dark kind of stuff that you put when you're a bodybuilder. It looks like he's put that on his face where you can only see his eyes. It's really, really weird. And nobody ever talks about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe we'll have to re-edit that episode and bring you in as a guest.
Hey, guys, there's a weirdly painted man who turns up halfway through this. He's had a terrible spray tan situation. The Luca Pichu, are you familiar with our oeuvre? Because it's not much of an oeuvre, really, because we're recording over Zoom or Zencaster, our product, our app of choice at the moment. I sent you over a invite to this particular session, and it went straight to your junk folder. And I think that's precisely where this show belongs, quite frankly, Chris.
Well, I listened to your last episode. I haven't listened to a lot of them, if I'm honest, because since doing Clash of the Titles, I am knee deep in listening to film podcasts to pick up everything I can for research. So I haven't been listening to a lot of sort of podcasts just for fun. So I listened to the last one and very much enjoyed your chat about bad movie merchandise.
It
brought back memories
from back in the day.
It brought back memories of when, before I even became a film journalist, just in the 90s when I went and hired Fever Pitch starring Colin Firth from Blockbuster. It came with a free pair of satin red Fever Pitch boxer shorts. I actually used to wear on special nights out.
Special nights out, lucky pants. Is that a thing in the Tilly world? Lucky pants? Have they worked for
Everyone's
you? Have they
got
not
lucky.
Worked?
No, okay. Never. Obviously they didn't. And if they did work and then I got my trousers off and the woman saw satin red Fever Pitch boxer shorts, she's running a mile.
It would end very, very quickly, that particularly bit of sexual congress. Yeah, go on, Chris.
I was just going to say, I enjoyed that. And then you sent me over these articles and I'm like, well, this has no connection to what they were talking about last week.
This is quite upsetting. No. Well, we'll get to the news story in a second. Have you got any movie merchandise from the film K-Pax? This has come up on the show a couple of times before. My friend, one of his favourite films, inexplicably, is the film K-Pax, featuring an alien disgraced sex offender. Can you be a disgraced sex offender? Just sex offender or disgraced man, Kevin Spacey. He's an alien. He comes down from heaven or wherever aliens come from, and he is just lives his life as best he can. But it's really hard to find K-Pax merchandise, but I did manage to locate on eBay some stills. You know, you sometimes have those promotional stills from films that kind of knock around every now and again. I've got loads of them, loads of K-Pax ones.
I want to go back to something you just said. Do you think aliens come from heaven, Pete? Because that's what you just claimed.
I think they do. They're little angels, little angel boys and girls.
Well, no, yeah, angels do come from heaven. So you think angels are aliens?
Yeah, well, I think that God lives on a big spaceship and floats around telling people off for being naughty and touching their winkies and stuff. So this is basically the show, to be honest, Chris. I feel awful that I have to introduce the listeners to you and you to the listeners.
Oh, thanks.
Because they know what it's like and you don't. So yeah, it's very much just a wander through half-remembered stories and half-remembered situations. But we're going to kick off. Actually, we're going to kick off with something I've just read on Twitter. This is interesting, isn't it? Boris Johnson's rule of six. Big announcement today. You're only allowed six people in your little group on a night out or where you hang out to. They're trying to flatten this curve once again, which is sadly going up here in England and the wider UK. There is an exemption though, Chris. You've not seen this news story. I'm almost certain. What do you reckon the exemption is for rule of six, bearing in mind which government is in charge right now?
Is it movie and football podcasts?
No, it's not. I wish it did. I wish it was. I wish it was, Chris. It's grouse shooting.
What?
You don't have to. You can have up to 30 people gathering with guns for grouse shooting. So, yeah, the Cabinet Office drafted special meetings on this actual exemption.
If I go out and buy a gun, I can meet up with 30 friends, yes. But if I don't have a gun, I can't.
Yeah, it's like Fortnite, but real. Isn't the scene is so typically Tory? I'm loving that. I'm absolutely loving that. Very enjoyable.
It's just the bloody mindedness of them not to care, not to think that people would be upset about this. And they'll get away with it, won't they?
Course they will. Course they bloody will. Very enjoyable. But one of the news stories I did send you, have you been across this mysterious Chinese seed story?
No, this is all news to me. Has this been going on for a long time then?
This has been going on for a little while. So basically, there's been this spate of mysterious, innocuous Chinese seeds being sent to addresses in the US and other places as well. And the USDA, obviously, who look after food and farming and stuff like that, this mystery seed operation is way bigger than we ever imagined. So apparently, this is all to do with Amazon kind of fulfillment or certainly online purchasing fulfillment orders. And basically, Chinese companies are able to get reviews for how good they can put reviews on their own site if they can prove that they sent a product out. Doesn't have to be a product that anyone ordered, as long as they send a bag of something. So in order to leave a positive review from a verified buyer, these Chinese companies are just basically sending seeds to random addresses in the US and beyond for them to game their own kind of system when it comes to online company reviews, if that makes any sense. I've probably not explained this very well, but the bottom line is random Chinese companies are sending random Chinese seeds to random US people. And I'm in for this.
Well, this sounds exactly like something you would buy after a few drinks sitting on your laptop.
Definitely. I want a bag of Chinese seeds. If there's anyone in China listening, send me some seeds. One recipient in North Carolina didn't even get his seeds. I received a suspicious package from China with a spoon and a fork in it. But because he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist, he thinks that the spoon and fork are covered in COVID. So that's how they delivered COVID to the US.
So some people who haven't ordered them planted the seeds. And then some people who didn't order them ate the seeds.
Just ate the seeds?
Yes, they ate the seeds.
I don't care how hungry or peckish you are, if you just go to your letterbox and someone just sent you a jiffy bag full of seeds. I mean, who sent me these seeds? They're getting eaten. They're going down the gullet. I don't even care.
It saves you a trip to the shop.
I used to be criticised when I used to work for a radio station where we used to get sent mystery food. I remember a man sent on behalf, or rather to the show, The Football Ramble, a bag full of mystery meat. It was like jerky. But I mean, it could have been dried anything. It could be dried humans. I ate it all and it was delicious. But I was criticized for eating stuff that people had sent us. Now, seeds, I wouldn't even get involved in that caper. I don't know what people are doing.
Are you a seed guy?
Maybe this is the delivery system. No, not the... I mean, the picture was like sunflower seeds, and I'm not... Sunflower seeds, they're just too fiddly. What's the biggest seed you can eat? Seeds are just so unsatisfying to me.
Aniseed.
Sunflower seeds, like maybe shelled. Aniseed. Star anise.
I don't know. I mean, are you going to order some of these seeds and do something with them live on air?
The problem is nobody knows how to. They're just sent without being asked these seeds. And you are now in. And the USDA are obviously saying we can't have unsolicited seedage arriving on our shores. It might upset our very delicate ecosystem. It might cause a plague of locusts or something like that. But no, the seeds are here to stay, guys. But if you do receive a packet of seeds, please, please do not eat the seeds. Do not eat the seeds. So that's the first story. What we will do, we'll move on to some emails. We're going to take a short advertorial sojourn. We'll be back in a second with more of your emails, more of your... bits and bobs, all right?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
OK, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Chris Daly from the Clash of the Titans podcast. It's all about two films going head-to-head on a similar theme. What I like about Clash of the Titans is before you announce what films you're going to be doing, you announce on Twitter a little kind of like clue as to which ones you're going to do. Are they always guessed from your clues?
Yes, because when we're getting to record time, if no one's guessed it, I then put an additional clue that makes it really obvious. So we haven't had a week. But I don't think I've had to do that maybe once. Every other time, people have guessed correctly. So I love trying to come up with the clues because what you want is to get 50 guesses, but only one correct guess. I think last week I messed it up. Huh? I messed it up a little bit and we got like 30 correct guesses. So, but this week it's going much better. This week I've...
One's clue?
Last week I tried something new, which was to... Oh no, this is embarrassing.
Doing erotic daubing.
No, I took it for the Twitter clue.
Was it K-Pax? Did you draw K-Pax at that alien from heaven?
We never do K-Pax. I took a still from each film.
Do K-Pax, you coward. Versus Mac and me.
I posted a picture from each film that wasn't obvious what the film was, but I didn't realise you could do this reverse Google search thing.
Reverse Google search, yeah. If you go to, there's a Russian image search called Yandex, and it's really fun. They do like an image search. And if you download a picture of one of your friends, they've got such good facial recognition, and they're probably doing something incredibly weird with the images that you're sending them. But it doesn't matter. I'm not anti-Slavic. I'm not anti-Russian companies necessarily, unless they're doing something terrible. So you can have me pictures of my friends. I don't care. You can put a picture of your friend up, and then they will find people who look exactly like your friend. And it's way more specific than Google image search. It's way more specific than Yahoo image search or Bing or anything. They're really, really good at finding people who look just like you. So a bit of a tip if you want to lose a few hours on the internet.
But as it's well documented, everyone looks like you, Pete. So there's no competition.
Yeah.
There.
Honestly, it's just getting worse and worse. Like I can look like a million different people at the same time. There's people on the tube, people I've taken pictures of. There's people, you know, on online. There's this celebrity kind of, like, he was a young lad. I think he was a big boy. And then he turned 18 and he decided he wanted to be a small boy. And he lost a load of weight, and he has made the terrible choice of sort of having like a kind of high bun, so it kind of looks a bit like an undercut. He started wearing my glasses, and he's given himself a goatee beard. He's just trying looks out, and he's settled on my look. And it's unfortunate because he's only like 23, 24. And I get sent that guy every couple of hours.
I saw a guy in a car yesterday who looked like you, and I got, I got a little bit excited.
I've been watching the TV show The Fall with Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
Have you seen? Did you watch that show?
You don't look like Jamie Dornan.
No. I'm just saying that I was like, I would be the perfect criminal because I look like everyone. If they put a photo fit out like they did on that show for Jamie Dornan, it would just look like anyone. And they'd have Teague back from Prison Break.
I was just going to say, you can cast your mate from Prison Break.
Cast Teague from Break. But have you said, like, I'm fascinated by they keep on making very rudimentary mistakes when it comes to computer use. You know, like most TV shows, they'll have a proprietary kind of one-off system. Usually in American dramas, they'll have when someone uses a computer, it won't be like a Mac or iOS. It won't be like Mojave or something or a Windows computer. It'll be this random, weird kind of thing they've created themselves because they don't want to infringe on copyrights or pay money to Windows or pay money to Apple. I don't really know how it works, but in England, we seem to see a lot more kind of Windows action. And Gillian Anderson keeps on printing stuff out to the Microsoft XPS writer, which isn't even a bloody printer properly. And she keeps on not saving files in the right way. And it's really starting to boil my piss. She's getting worse at it, quite frankly.
I mean, I'm sorry, I lost interest about halfway through that.
See, this is who we need on the Luke and Pete show. Luke would just roll with the punches on that one. He would humour me for a bit, and then he'd change the subject.
But that
TV show is all about her just being very sexually liberated, and then her delivering some really ham-fisted, kind of obvious, kind of like, oh, do you think women deserve to be attacked because they dress a certain way? No, nobody thinks that in 2020. Or if you do, you're a fucking wrong'un, so don't worry about it. Germany cricket. Really hammerly done. Ugh. Get someone to edit that writing. That's what they call them. The old edit writers.
And that review comes from 5 years ago when The Fall was actually on telly.
It's just got to Netflix. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the sexually liberated Gillian Anderson. It's good. Let's get on to some emails. Chris, I've sent you a list of emails. Would you like to kick off with Laura's email, which is the top one I brought you?
Sure. Laura says, this is my first email. My husband has emailed several times but has never been read out, so it would be great if you could read this one just to get up on him. She wants to let us know that her school had a nurse. And she was also the school librarian. And I'm not convinced she had any qualification to support either role. as expected, a school nurse, she wasn't always the most empathetic and was often skeptical about whether you were actually sick enough to be there. One memorable occasion that I ended up in sick bay coincided with one of England's group games in World Cup 98. This was on during school time, and only the year nines were being allowed to watch it. Exceptionally unfair. I had been knocked over in a crush at one of the school entrances at lunchtime, a common event at my comp when you had 950 11 to 14 year olds in a school designed for 300. What's going on here, Pete?
Porter cabins. That sounds like they've got porter cabins. That was my school. They just ran out of space and just put everyone in porter cabins.
I mean, she got it. It was a crush, and it sounds like this was a regular occurrence. Laura, hit her head on the floor. I was fine, but clearly didn't fancy what lessons I had that afternoon. And for once, the nurse agreed. So someone was rung to come collect me and take me home. As I was sat in sick bay, desperately hoping whoever was going to pick me up would get there in time to get off home for kickoff, a stream of boys from my year came in to try and convince the nurse that they were really ill and needed to go home. She didn't believe any of them and sent every single one back to class. She obviously hadn't considered that a girl, a very sporty girl who happened to play football for the school and a local team and went on to play academy level, well done Laura, could possibly try to exaggerate an injury in order to watch the England match. Needless to say, I watched the game at home and was back into school the next day, as my parents had quite rightly ascertained that there was absolutely nothing wrong with me. I hope that the gender stereotypes in schools have changed since then, so that it is recognised that girls might like football just as much as boys, but a small part of me hopes that another girl might get the benefit of these stereotypes in order to watch the World Cup.
Laura, you have subverted and enjoyed the spoils of gender stereotypes there. Very enjoyable. Did you have a school nurse at school, Chris?
I don't think I did. Certainly not. My primary school was a very little primary school. There was no nurse there. I went to quite a big, posh, all-boys school for secondary school. And I think it was the kind of school where they just said...
Pull a Laura trick.
They just said, you're not hurt, you're not sick, get on with it.
Right. Walk it off. Run it off. Yeah. For crying out loud. Yeah. I presume you had a librarian, though. I mean, that is bare minimum.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And what was your favourite book in the library?
I can tell you what my favourite book was in the library at primary school, because I wish I'd stolen it and kept it. It was the novelisation of Back to the Future. I used to go and read that a lot.
What I mean, I'm presuming it had, because you know, like when somebody writes a book and it gets adapted for stage screen or film, they replace the cover with the one that that's the film, effectively to shift more units.
Sure.
And I'm always very embarrassed to read that version of the book, so I try and find the original if I can, because I am petty and small, and yeah, just those two things, quite frankly.
Novelizations are incredible though, because these writers, sometimes they're doing it before the film script is finished. They're writing it alongside the film being made, so they're coming up with stuff that's not in the film. they just have to get it done. And so one I read a few years ago and ended up writing about was the novelization of E.T., where E.T. really wants to bone Elliot's mum.
Oh, what, like he's like a horny?
He's a horny E.T.
angel / alien.
He's a horny E.T. and there's one point where he's imagining her in the shower. And you're just thinking, how was this allowed?
Oh, Chris, tell me she's got the shower curtain across and he just pokes his periscope style head over the top and goes, wow, wow, wee, wow.
It's just who, wow. Who reads CZT and thinks this needs to be sexed up?
I hope they were all put, I hope they're all collected together, the copies of the E.T. Novelization and buried in the Nevada desert like the Atari cartridge. Yeah. That's very enjoyable. Oh, I really want to read that now. Have you read the whole thing?
I've written an article with the highlights, which I could send you, but I could also lend you the book.
Oh, good.
I've actually started collecting novelizations. Like... So,
yeah.
Because I'm a twat. Nice. And yeah, I'm not really reading a lot of them, but I think I've got a few Rockies. The Rocky ones seem to play out in his head like it's all from the first person of what he's thinking. And that's weird being inside Rocky Balboa's head.
wasn't that the basis of a podcast?
The Rocky IV one. They were. It was slightly different, but yeah, they were looking for this. What was it? It's like a subsection of literature created around Ivan Drago.
That's right. Yes.
Riveting.
Yes. It was very, very, very good back in the day. It's a little bit like video game. Solution, you know, you like sometimes you when a video game comes out, there's a big annual, a big book that comes out with it, and it's basically a whole walkthrough on how to defeat the game really, really quickly. It's a little bit depressing because, like, you know, people should be able to find out their own way of getting through half the stuff. But they're written at the same time that the video game is getting made, so there are sometimes aberrations and strange things that are put in. But I enjoy the idea of a horny red lit up penis ET.
Little telescopic horny, winky.
Little horn dog.
I've just been looking up what England's group games were in World Cup 98, and I really hope Laura didn't bunk off for the Romania England game because we actually lost that one.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a stinker. That would have been a stinker. Yeah, do you remember much of World Cup 98? Let's sash a little bit into football chat, because obviously me and you have gone to Crystal Palace a couple of times. You won at the weekend, well done.
Yes, so did you, didn't you?
And Ross Townsend doing the thing. Yeah, we did, yeah, yeah. We're
lovely, it doesn't happen often.
Top,
we're both
top
that
of the tree. It doesn't.
Yeah.
that must mean we're both top off. Yay!
Yeah, we're going to be in Europe. World Cup 98, I was at uni for the first half of the tournament and then I was back in Croydon for the second half. Yeah, I very vivid memories of the Argentina game with the Owen goal.
Mm.
I mean, that was one of the most, I think, dramatic nights of football I've ever watched.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought we had a chance that year and it just didn't happen for whatever reason. With Shearer and Owen up front, I thought we might be doing it. But how about you? What are your memories?
I remember, I think it was 98 when I was still at college or school. I can't remember. Well, it would have been college. And I remember when we went out, someone threw a pint glass at the screen. I think that was 98. I remember the shattering of glass when the final whistle went.
Nasty.
Was that the campaign where David Batty basically kicked the man in the head? Or was it was. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was enjoyable.
My parents.
It's weird what you remember, isn't it?
My parents went to that World Cup final.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And that was my dad's second World Cup final. So he's...
And his first one was 66, was it?
66, yeah, 66. He went down to Wembley Stadium in January that year and bought a season ticket for Wembley for not that much money and ended up watching every England game.
That's amazing. Yeah. And they really sort of, they screwed the pooch on that one because they could have probably cleaved a bit more money out of him if they knew they were going to get to the final. Brilliant.
Yeah, but he was saying that like there wasn't a huge amount of excitement around that tournament until England started doing well. Like, I guess it was just before, you know, it was all over the telly and what have you. He just said that he just did it on the off chance and you could still get tickets on the day for some of those games.
Mm. Incredible. Right, well, we'll probably leave that here. This has been the Luke Pitt Show for a Monday. I do hope you have enjoyed it. With Chris Tilley from Clash of the Titles. If you want to listen to Clash of the Titles, I mean, how can they do it? How can they find you online, etc., Chris?
We are at Clash Pod if you want to see us on Twitter. Or, yeah, Clash the Titles is the movie show.
It's very good. I mean, I have a very low tolerance for movie stuff. And because I am, by my own admission, awful at remembering anything about films, and so the time and effort and the amount of work Alex and Vicky and Chris put into just giving us those bits of trivia that I never knew about some of the celebrated
films. That's me. I'm the research guy.
Celebrated films.
I'm the research guy. Okay. I bring the trivia. Mm-hmm. Vicky is the structure person. She's a great screenwriter. She breaks down these stories, and then Alex, he does impressions.
His accents are, bearing in mind he's been in like three or four films himself, his accents, and he won't mind me saying this, he'll disagree wholeheartedly, his accents are obscenely bad. They're worse than mine, and mine are terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I enjoy his Arnie, but yeah, I do find myself sometimes dreading, I mean... I'll say on the next episode what next week's films are, but we've got an actor and I know he's going to do impressions throughout the episode and it's going to kill me.
Oh, we'll check that out. ClashPod on Twitter and Clash of the Titles. Go and have a listen now. We'll be back on Thursday with more of this.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or
anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.